interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF February 22nd edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ready for the weekend. Ben Love, the famous Glenn D, taking you there from inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big, too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. And with that, I'm ready to roll. I'm doing my best not to lead off with Bob Kraft, but trust me, we'll get there. One of the most outrageous breaking news stories in the sports world in a while. And that's saying something. Late this morning and early into this afternoon with the owner of the New England Patriots, but we like to keep it live and local, and we'll do our best to give you the latest on LSU baseball, UL baseball. We'll preview a massive matchup in the house that Pete built tomorrow, brunch style, LSU-Tennessee basketball, and we'll have the biggest prep football story of the week front and center on today's program. Loaded up with a lot of goodies. Here is our schedule in our very next segment. About 4:15, the Twitterless, Dan McDonald, coming aboard. He's also a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. He'll give us his take on the Cajuns' first three games of the season against Texas, the narrow loss in the midweek, and then what's coming this weekend at Sam Houston State. What we learned yesterday, late in our program, Gunnar Leje, not going to start, not going to pitch this weekend. We'll ask Dan's thoughts on the pitching rotation, Robe's 25th team here in Cajun Country, and plenty more as our only scheduled guest in hour number one. Again, Dan's going to be with us about 10 minutes from right now at 4:15. And we've got a sink or swim question of the day that you might just find yourself interested in. We're going to sink our teeth into some of the most hated sports figures in America today. Go ahead and put that on your radar for 4:30. At straight up 5 o'clock, a visit out to Baton Rouge. Getting you ready for LSU Bryant. It's the series everyone's been waiting for. And no matter how big or small it is, we will visit with James Moran. The on-deck circle with James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, coming your way each and every Friday, straight up 5 o'clock. And then at 5:30, I promised you a big high school football story from inside Louisiana. We'll deliver half past five. Chad Mahaffey hopping from U-High to Walker High. Select side to the non-select side. A school that's won three state championships at the Division II level, beating St. Thomas More in a thriller this past December over to Walker High, which the Wildcats are the defending 5A basketball state champs. And a couple of very, very talented underclassmen, Jalen Cook, Brian Thomas, couple of cats that could be not only LSU football prospects, but basketball prospects are going to be under his watch. So why did he make the move, and what are some of the first steps you have to do when stepping into a program like that? Chad Mahaffey, he's going to tell you all about it at 5:30. And then at 6:15, right as we're about to exit stage left, we're going to bring back Shea Dixon. Not going to make him do another interview. When it's perfect the first time, you just re-air it. Shea joined me on Tuesday, and so for those that missed it, for those that need a crash course, you're going to get that in your life about 6:10 p.m. Everything that happened last weekend in recruiting, how LSU has gotten to the number one spot right now in the class of 2020, and just what Ed Ogeron and company are going to have to do outside of Louisiana for this recruiting cycle. Shea Dixon coming at you 6:10 p.m., and then at 6:30, we are going to send you to Baton Rouge. Doug Thompson, Chris Blair, the pregame show. LSU Bryant, game one. And, of course, first pitch is at 7 o'clock. That is how we're going to spend 2.5 hours with you. Whenever you're ready to dial in, it's easy. Just call 706-0111. And we'll lead off with a bit of news. I mentioned LSU game one against Bryant is at 7 p.m. tonight. We learned in the last hour that game two for LSU and Bryant tomorrow, it's been pushed back. So whether you plan to listen to it here on Acadiana Sports Station, if you're going live, be so advised. LSU Bryant game two is now at 7 p.m. I believe the initial start time was 4 o'clock, so they're pushing this back. Weather concerns. Yes, it's South Louisiana. We're less than 2 weeks in to the college baseball season already. You need the Doppler radar. You need this show. You need updates. The Wednesday game up in Natchitoches was postponed all the way to March 12, and Saturday is pushed back to 7 p.m. But with that, I do want to lead off with LSU basketball. In yesterday's show, well, we did the same thing. It was about, in my opinion, not overreacting to the OT loss to Florida. But I'll say this, as we're now on the precipice of LSU welcoming in a top five team, not named Kentucky, to the PMAC, that doesn't happen often. I will say this, if you can't use that Florida game as fuel to go out and lasso your biggest win of the season, or you can't put yourself in a position at least late to do that tomorrow, then I'll start to worry a little bit about the dog in the fight of this LSU team. Now, to date, I don't have a lot of reason to question it. They may like to leave it late, and that's not my favorite MO, but they often have that killer instinct when it matters most in games. Anytime that you have won every single SEC road game you've played through, what are we now, 13 games? Are you kidding me? So what does that make them? I think 6-0 CD, I believe, on the road. That's hard to do. And half of them, three, they've won in overtime on the road. There haven't really been many reasons for me to question the fight that this LSU team brings to the floor. But let's look at what is ahead of them right now. The number five team in the country is coming to town. They just lost to Florida. Their head coach said, our season will end like this if you can't figure out a way to beat these types of teams. And oh, by the way, Daddy Dale Brown helped to drop one of the sickest hype videos that you've ever seen for LSU basketball. Shout out as well to our good friend Cody Worsham. He's not just writing words, saying words for LSU sports. He wrote a script for Dale Brown that is really cool. If you haven't seen it, you need to check it out. But there are so many things that lead toward LSU having a chance to pull what would be considered a mild upset in this game. And by the way, I happen to think that the tip time is one of them. 11 a.m.? How could that be advantageous for the road team? How could it be? I don't care what their travel schedule was. I don't care if they spent an extra night in BR. None of that matters to me. It's as simple as this, the way I look at it. One team got to stay at home. They're going to wake up. They're going to play. The other team had to completely alter what they do with their travel schedule, the way they handle shoot around. Nothing is going to be as it normally is. Now, I'll also share with you my thoughts on that tip time. While it may help LSU, nothing is worth being on the mothership this badly. I wish it were a little bit later. I wish the rest of the country might have a chance to see. Nobody on the West Coast is watching Tennessee LSU at 9 a.m. their time. It's just not going down that way. But I think the way that it shook out could help LSU a little bit. Now, the other thing that I would mention is this is not football. And that was part of my sermon to you yesterday. If you're concerned about that loss on Wednesday to Florida, you're probably still a little bit in meathead football mode. It's the way I see it. I got to call it that way. In that same vein, LSU not playing at 7 p.m., hey, that's a problem for football. And I get the gripe there. LSU not playing at 7 p.m. for basketball, that's a little bit of a different story. I think the PMAC is going to be rocking tomorrow. I think LSU is going to have it on their mind. We'll talk X's and O's a little bit later in the show. But right now, the tip time, the motivation from losing to Florida, some of the things that Wade had to say, the fact that these two teams are maybe a little more similar stylistically than LSU-Florida or LSU-Georgia, I've got a good feeling going into tomorrow. But I definitely can tell you that the place will be on fire in Baton Rouge. All right, we're going to hit our first break. When we return, going to switch it up a little bit. Cajuns baseball and maybe a little Cajuns hoops as well. Bob Marlin's group won at UTA last night. We'll discuss them all with Dan McDonald when we return. Happy Friday to you. Let's go home. Let's get to the weekend. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Back for break, ready to talk some baseball, maybe a little basketball as well for the Raging Cajuns. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Quickly, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Dan McDonald, our guest. Dan, it's great to have you on a Friday, and I think finally I have browbeaten Clint enough. He didn't lead in with the Jimmy Buffett there. I think I beat that out of him. Should I feel bad about that?
Well, it's a nice change of pace. Every once in a while, you know, it's not really Buffett weather outside today anyway, so it's not that bad.
That's a fair point. All right, so the Cajuns baseball team, they're over already at the home of the Bearcats, Sam Houston State. They're taking on a familiar face with Matt Deggs, and they're going to do it without Gunnar Leger. For Cajun fans listening, do you think there's any cause for concern one weekend that he already needs a little rest, or maybe this was always just part of the plan?
I think it's just part of it. I mean, the important time to have Gunnar, you know, is later on in the season when the games really mean something. Not to say that this weekend doesn't mean anything, because as Tony Robichaux says, basically every game is a conference game now, with that you have the RPI that sort of determines who gets into postseason. But, you know, they're going to take their time with him. You know, the guy went 630 days without throwing a pitch in a game, and, you know, he probably threw, I think, as well as anybody could have expected against Texas last Friday night. So, you know, it didn't surprise me. I kind of like looked at it. It's like, but it really didn't surprise me. And it wouldn't, you know, I think they want him, you know, to make sure that everything's good, everything's well. You know, from what I gather, he threw his pin work this week. You know, it wasn't a soreness thing. It was just a matter of recovery. And I think he's going to be fine.
And so taking his place is going to be Austin Perrin tonight. We know Dalton Horton's going to move up into the Saturday spot. What did you take away from Horton's start, the only win of the series against the Longhorns on Sunday, and maybe what he could bring to this pitching staff?
I think that he is going to get – he's sort of almost like Gunnar, but didn't get near as much notoriety. He had a bad shoulder, you know, and that has caused him to throw very little the last 2 years, but – you know, he went 8-0 at TCU and he was a freshman. And you just, I know Tony said, you don't forget how to pitch. I think his is just a matter of shaking the rust off, too. But I thought he did a lot of really good things against Texas. And I'm really curious to see what he does tomorrow, because you know that Sam Houston State is going to be a good hitting team. Any team that's coached by Matt Deggs is going to swing the bats pretty good. I'm anxious to see, you know, how he does. And when I think before it's all over, you know, I think he may start getting some notice of his own, because if you've got Gunnar slotted in on Friday and you've got him placed in there on a Saturday, you know, you've got a real good chance to win the first two of any conference series.
Talking Cajuns baseball with Dan McDonald on 103.7 The Game. The fact that Logan Stolke left, the fact that Dylan Moore left, there was a big void in terms of closer. Austin Bradford, he saved that game Sunday, the Dalton Horton began. So what do you take away from Bradford and I guess his role as he's moving into it?
I think they really like him as the closer. You know, he did give up a hit up in Ruston on Wednesday night. But, you know, that hit, that the guy who eventually scored reached base on an error. You know, if they don't get the error, you know, he's out of the inning and they're on to the 11th. And, you know, who knows what happens from there. But, you know, he for first time out in that environment against Texas, I mean, you know, he could have thrown it all over the ballpark against Texas in that Sunday game, and really didn't. You know, He threw 21 pitches, and at two-thirds of an inning, he went a lot of deep counts. Walked a couple, but he also got a couple strikeouts. And I think he's going to be that kind of guy. You know, he's going to walk a few batters, but he's going to get some strikeouts. He's going to get some big outs. And I think he's going to also get better and better. I mean, he didn't really throw in that role purely at LSU E, so that's sort of something you have to adapt to. But, you know, I'm not going to argue with success. I can see, what Dylan Moore and Logan Stelke did the last few years as far as a closer. And, you know, if Tony has a guy that he likes, and I think he likes Bradford, after what he's had the last couple of years, you know, I'm willing to give him more than the benefit of the doubt.
At the plate, Dan, I know there are a number of new faces that fans are excited about, and it's not just freshmen. Could be guys that had to sit out a year like a Brennan Brough, but I'm going to point toward Hayden Cantrell and ask you just how much of a leap forward do you think he could take as a second-year player, particularly when it comes to hitting?
I think he will. I think he'll step up, offensively before it's all over with. The problem is, a lot of guys who have really good freshman years, the book sort of gets out on them. And, people now across the Sun Belt sort of know what is the best thing to do against him at the plate. All these analytics that are out there, and you hear it talked about in Major League Baseball and so forth. Well, it's in the college game too. I mean, I sat and watched Daniel Freeman go through a lot of analytics with a lot of Texas hitters, and it's pretty amazing what those computer programs can do as far as telling you where to pitch somebody, how to pitch somebody in particular counts and so forth. It's pretty amazing stuff, and it would not surprise me if he didn't, time to time this year, have a little bit of a struggle. But, he's too good a hitter, too good a player to have that for a long term. Now, is he going to step out and hit 350 and, hit double-digit home runs? Probably not. But, if his numbers are a little bit better than last year, I think that's got to be considered a success.
We've already mentioned both of us, Dan, the head coach at Sam Houston State, Matt Deggs. What are some of your biggest and most fond memories of what he brought and infused into this Cajuns program?
I tell you what, I always loved the term that he used was pack mentality. He didn't care if one guy went up and got a triple. He cared if four guys got up there and all of them hit the ball hard right after each other. He had that sort of that mentality, and he figured over the long run, those hard hit balls are going to drop. He was more excited on innings that had four or five hits than an inning that had a couple of home runs. That was just his, the point he tried to bring to this team. And they were so aggressive at the plate during the time he was here. And that's not just theory. That's sort of, how you approach it day to day. He was kind of guy. He was a motivator in a different way. And the fur flew a lot of times when he's talking to some of his hitters, but they respected him for it.
As we're finishing up with Dan McDonald, I want to hop over to Bob Marlin and Raging Cajuns basketball. So far, we'll knock on wood, it looks like they've started to right the ship, especially on defense. They've won three in a row. Last night at UTA, this coming weekend, they'll finish the Texas two-step, playing Texas State. But you also look at it, Dan, and they're 7-6 right now in the Sun Belt. So have they turned a corner enough that you can believe in it?
If they win Saturday, I'll believe it. But last night was pretty impressive. I mean, all you have to look is one figure. In the first half, they made 8 three-pointers, and UTA made 0. Now, that is a 24-point difference, and they led 25 at the half, 46-21. The other numbers, were about the same, for between the two teams. I mean, they were close. They had the lead in rebounding. They had a lot fewer turnovers and so forth. But, that's a 24-point difference, and if they can continue to shoot it like that, I'm not saying they're going to make 12 three-pointers every night like they did last night, but they can, get out there and make 8, 9, 10 every night. They're going to be a force to reckon with, and I don't know if they'll do that against Texas State, because this is a team in Texas State that's going to D up. They held Deshaun Smith to 9 points last night. The last team that did that was Ole Miss, and Smith had averaged 33 a game the last three games before last night.
Wow.
And they held him to 9 for ULM. So, they're going to defend. It'll be baskets are going to be at a premium. Possessions are going to be at much more of a premium. Of course, UTA tried to play that way last night and didn't make any shots and then had to play desperation in the second half. If the Cajuns can get out, shoot it well early, you know, they might be able to put Texas State in the same situation.
Bobcats, the only 20-win overall team in the Sun Belt right now. They're 21-6, so I think you're spot on. Dan, this is a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming aboard. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Ben. I really appreciate it.
Dan McDonald does a tremendous job. You can read his work. You can watch his work. You listen to this show. You can hear his work. Multimedia presence and a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. You know we appreciate the time. All right, here's the drill. We're halfway done with our number one. When we return, per the usual, I've got a question for you. I'm going to prep you for it now. Don't need you stumbling over it. Don't need you overthinking it. I just want you to let a little hate out of your heart. We're pretty good at that on this program. Once upon a time, we even dedicated an entire summer rival rant series to something about like this. But today, it's not going to be about a team. Today, it's going to be about a person. Doesn't have to be a player. Can be a coach. Can be an owner. Wink, Robert Kraft. I'm curious who your most hated sports figure in America is today. And there are a couple of different reasons why I'm going this route on a Friday. There are a couple of reminders of why a couple of guys, in particular, might just qualify for a question like this. So make sure you think on it, just not too much, and then dial 706-0111. We got half an hour to go. Time to explore the space. And then James Moran talking LSU baseball live from the box at 5 o'clock. Chad Mahaffey, new Walker High football head coach at 5:30. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in, bringing all the hate with us on 103.7 The Game.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
All right, it's time now. I've buried the lead long enough. I'll get to your biggest national story of the day, and it might just factor into the sink or swim. Question of the day. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what to do for you. It's been all over radio, TV, social media, everywhere you turn. People that give two hoots about sports have consumed the news at this point that Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, has been charged with solicitation of a prostitute, or prostitution, I should say, in general. As according to some of the reports, the police down in Florida have him on video twice with this type of activity. Now, look, I don't want to get too pointed downhill toward Robert Kraft here, because this was a months-long investigation from all the reporting I've seen so far that implicates, I mean, mass amounts of human trafficking and women, according to some reports, that were given no days off and, I mean, thousands of acts that we can't talk about and won't talk about on radio, they were formed to perpetrate. So this is nothing short of a despicable and a sad situation. Don't hear me wrong. But it ties into sports. So here we are. Bob Kraft is implicated. And according to Adam Schefter of the Mothership, he is not the biggest name that is on this list. So this thing's about to get very, very interesting. But between Bob Kraft and today's charges that were filed, and then the idea that LeBron James says we're going to kick it into playoff mode, and then they play one of the best teams in the West, and not just CP3, but also James Harden foul out, I think there's some people that already are feeling a little LBJ backlash, not just because here locally he's trying to poach one of the best players the franchise has ever known, and Anthony Davis. So all of that got me to thinking, who's your most hated sports figure in America today? We'll play the music, and then we'll start to get down to brass tacks.
Yeah. exciting and new.
You've already been given the question, but to reiterate, who is your most hated sports figure in America today? Player, coach, owner, GM, famous fan, celebrity, whoever it is, call us and let us know. 706-0111. And there's one name that if we don't hear it, I will probably just give the show away. I feel that strongly it's going to happen. I'll never come back. I'll never do another edition of B2BS if we don't hear this one name that I have in mind. Clint, I've already told you what that one name is. You're not allowed to steal it. That said, who you got, my friend?
I think I got to go with a simple one here. I think we got to wind up going with Coach K from Duke.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Go ahead and spill it.
Just not a big fan of the guy. He has that look about him to where you know he's up to no good at all. I understand all of college basketball is cheating in one way or another. It's all about when you're getting caught, but just Duke and Coach K seems like he's a guy that's always getting caught no matter what. But a close second, Ben, it's got to be the bad boy of baseball right now, and that's Bryce Harper without a doubt.
So is he most hated because of fatigue purposes? You're just tired of seeing his name being out there?
Yeah. Also his face, too. I'm sorry. He almost looks like Droopy Dog to an extent.
Are you telling me he's got a punchable face?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people who aren't Duke fans would agree. I think some UNC fans might agree with that sentiment.
Clint is going with Coach K and Bryce Harper. I think you've got a little bit of flawed logic, just my opinion, when it comes to Bryce Harper. It's not his fault that we've got an incredibly flawed system when it comes to MLB and free agents. It's not Manny Machado's fault that it took this long for him to land with the San Diego Padres and that we're still having to see Bryce Harper take 1,000, where is he going, news clips every single day. But still, I'll take your word for gold there. Mine is really, really easy for me. It's Urban Meyer. And technically, he's not even involved with Ohio State football anymore. I think he's teaching like an ethics class, if I'm not mistaken, up in Columbus, which in and of itself is hilarious. Urban Meyer makes my stomach churn. The fake heart palpitations, or at least the over-exaggeration of health situations, to only leave a sinking ship and then fall up into just as good, if not a better of a job. I can't stand people like that. The only difference between him and Lane Kiffin, besides one of them's funny on Twitter and the other one is Urban Meyer, is that at least Urbs has accomplished some things with his quarterback development, and he's won a lot of games, albeit as a scumbag at Utah, at Florida, and at Ohio State. But there is nothing about Urban Meyer that I like. He is far and away my most hated sports figure in American sports today. Let's get yours out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, we're talking hate. I thought I might hear from you. What you got?
Well, Ben, I'm not going to bite on the low-hanging fruit. I know exactly where you were shooting at when you threw this arrow.
Sure.
But I will say that does anybody not expect what happened to Robert Kraft to happen? If you cheat, you cheat, and you cheat some more. So why is this a surprise?
So you are finding a way to tie Deflategate, Spygate, and all of those things into Robert Kraft's personal sexual life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, you run the team, right?
A cheater is a cheater is a cheater is what you're telling me.
Well, the head of the snake will lead the body, so it is what it is.
That's just an anatomy lesson I didn't need. But I got it nonetheless. Frank, enjoy your weekend. You know I appreciate the call.
You too, Ben.
Too easy. Always goes down smooth. Let's take another out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Dusty, who's your most hated?
Man, this is a loaded question. I want to go with Roger Goodell so bad.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, exactly. Easy answer, right? I want to go with old boy that cheap shot of our player to get us out of the Super Bowl. But, man, with this news about Robert Kraft, I wasn't a big fan of this guy anyway. But if any more news comes out about how old these girls were at this spot or if he had money involved with this spot, man, I got to go with Robert Kraft.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, the man, in my opinion, if he is found guilty, everybody in America, it doesn't work this way in the court of public opinion, but in the actual courts, if he is found guilty, he should not own that football franchise anymore, in my opinion. If there's more to it than that, as you're insinuating, if he is somehow tied to any of the trafficking, put him under the jail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, amen, brother.
Dusty, thank you for the call, man. All right, so the Goodell name was thrown out there. We had three other people on the line. They all hung up. No, I'm just kidding. They're still there. Let's go back to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron, thank you for waiting. Who's your pick to click?
I actually have two of them. I was thinking you were thinking maybe Nick Saban because he was at LSU left and at Alabama now. But I have a funny one for you. One of my least favorites is Ricky Williams.
Okay.
Because when he was with Miami, if he would have – stay off of whatever he was off of. Miami wouldn't have a bad year, and Saban probably still be at LSU.
That's true. Between Ricky Williams and Drew Brees, things could have turned out a lot differently for the Alabama and subsequently the LSU football programs.
Yeah.
That is spectacular. Ricky Williams smoking LSU football into relative oblivion. Thank you, Ron. I love that. See, this is already fun. Let's get back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, you waited until like 6:30 yesterday. I'm glad to have you in early today. Who you got for us?
Robert Montgomery Knight.
Yes.
I could not stand him. I couldn't his antics, his arrogance, throwing chairs, choking players. You know, just arrogant. I just could never stand him. I don't care how much accomplishment he got. His Robert Montgomery Knight. Can't stand him still to this day, even though he don't coach.
I love that you went all three names like a pissed-off mother. That's fantastic.
All right, thank you.
Ken, you know what you did there. You ran after a kid in the street. Robert Montgomery Knight, you get your backside into this house. Robert Montgomery Knight, I will pull this car over so fast, it will make your head spin. I love that. Ken, with a good submission, let's take some more. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, John, you've been waiting. Who you giving us?
All right, I got somebody from your side of the mic. Jim Gray.
Ooh.
I cannot stand Jim Gray.
You know what? You opened up a portal that I hadn't even considered because there are people in
my
profession
God.
I can't stand, but he's a really interesting one. Tell me why.
I hate when he interviews someone and he knows and he's like, okay, he pushes the issue to answer the question and he's just like a little worm. I cannot stand Jim Gray. And you could add another vote to Nick Saban and to Roger Goodell on my side.
There we go. I appreciate it, John.
All right.
And you know what's funny? You listen to this station long enough. And by the way, we got time for more. 706-0111. You listen to a Acadiana sports station long enough, and you hear the NFL pregame shows, halftime shows, and they're all hosted, as we are a Westwood One affiliate, by Jim Gray. I can't stand, I'm going to be honest, some of his weaselly interviews with Tom Brady.
Yes.
And with Larry Fitzgerald. Seriously, just get Larry to the point where he pimps the University of Phoenix. We know that part's coming. Look, I get it. I push great local companies. I get that part. But the way that he puts Brady on the spot sometimes, like right smack dab in the middle of the season, like, what exactly do you want dude to say right there? Yeah, I'm going to have to co-sign, John. That's a really good one with Jim Gray. All right, back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Bammer is with us. Bammer, who you got?
Ben, I think it's obvious from my name, man, I am an Alabama fan. So my number one most hated sports figure by far, Cam Newton. Cannot stand the greasy smile. I can't stand the underhanded getting paid to go to Auburn. And look, I was pulling for the cat when they were playing in the Super Bowl. Cannot stand not jumping on the fumble. It's just, to this day, I can't stand it. I don't know what it is about the guy. Just can't do it.
If there hadn't been a guy that already burned their trees down over there, we can go take care of that, Bammer.
Well, look, that guy's in jail. So, okay, and obviously right. Wasn't me, so I got a cell phone in my hand, you know.
Bammer, I appreciate you coming clean on being a Bama fan, and I think a lot of people are going to agree with that pick there.
Tenfold, brother. Appreciate
there he is.
It.
There he is. Bammer's in. That's true. That guy did go to prison. So maybe we shouldn't go burn any more trees down. Just go ahead and TP that whole corner. We won't bring any kerosene. We won't bring any matches. But some fire right there from Bammer. We'll take our final break of the hour. You know, we got time for more. Otherwise, I'll talk Anthony Davis. I'll do it. If you dare me, I will talk Anthony Davis and make you shrug your shoulders and pout just a little bit in your vehicle. Don't think I won't. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'll call you out. full name style. Robert Montgomery Knight. There it is. We're coming back on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We've got a new leader in the clubhouse. I'm just going to be honest. One of the social media submissions, for me, it's better than what we've heard so far over the air, just because of the comedic factor. Of course, I'll share. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget James Moran, 5 o'clock, Chad Mahaffey at 5:30, and then a Q&A replay, Shay Dixon at 6:10 p.m. Clint, this question so far has gotten good traction over the air, and we'll take more calls, 706-0111, but we've gotten some really good stuff on Facebook. I mean, some really good stuff. And here's the one that, for me, has to be the early leader in the clubhouse. You'll tell me if you agree or you don't. Torian, you know who you are, and you could take a bow. Team Iceland. That is one of the best Mighty Ducks references
yes.
I've heard in a long time.
That is really, really good. For a quick second, I was just waiting for him. Like, oh, my God, that it is so good. It just hits the right way.
Team Iceland. And then you got, look, you think I didn't grow up in that era? Wolf, the Dennis Stinson?
Yes.
Invites your boy, Emilio Estevez, to play a game of three bar. Emilio Estevez, the Minnesota Miracle Man, tries to explain the game to him. I played the game. And he chops him right at the kneecap. Team Iceland. Thank you, Torian. Also, so far on Facebook, Dusty says, Goodell. Yeah, of course, that's the one that I expected. But, hey, nothing wrong. When you're right, you're right. Sean says, NFL referees. So he's grouped in a lot of them. Theo says, Nick Saban, 100%. He even spelled Saban with an I as an ultimate show of disrespect. And then Guy, I didn't expect this one. Guy says, Dennis Rodman, dude is a POS. And there probably will be many that agree with you. So keep them rolling while you can. Because we've got a lot of guests coming aboard for the last hour and a half of the program. Already, we've gotten over the air. Bob Kraft, of course, following today's news, that's going to be a fairly popular pick. We've got Nick Saban. We've gotten Ricky Williams. That one I didn't expect.
Yeah, me neither.
But the rationale was really, really strong from Ron. I liked that pick. We've gotten, I wanted to call him Bobby, excuse me, General Robert Montgomery Knight from our man Ken. We got Cam Newton, and then we got Jim Gray.
Yeah.
And Clint's going to play something that's going to make John want to just claw his eyeballs out like a teacher scratching a chalkboard with her fingernails.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. James, congratulations on the fight tonight. Were you simply just too quick and too fast for Evander Holyfield?
I'm too quick and too fast for anybody stepping in the ring with me as a heavyweight. That's the bottom line. You know, Jim, I don't know why you come up here. Don't come up here and try to give me no badass questions, try to degrade me. I'm going to thank the guy, thank the man upstairs.
Question's legitimate. Were you too quick?
Evander Holyfield was a great fighter. Don't diminish that at any time. Holyfield's a great warrior. He came to fight. Bottom line.
Did he ever
Who's
hurt
next?
You?
I got milk, baby.
The question's legitimate. I mean, that was point of parliamentary procedure, James Tony. He's kind of a weasel.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
dude, yes.
That's really good, John. That is a top-shelf answer on
yes.
your part.
I can't believe we didn't really get to that point in the discussion about sports figure. We were thinking more, owners, actual players. But in terms of commentators, people who interview people.
This is the part where you destroy Joe Buck on the program.
Yes, I think everybody, a lot of people can't agree.
We
Joe Buck
it.
Is up there.
Look, if Clint were a dog, so follow me here. If Clint were a dog, he would be, by and large, a docile creature.
Yes.
When Clint is presented, not even visually, just with the sound of
yeah.
Joe Buck, that lip goes yeah. up, the teeth and the fangs come out, he becomes a rabid dog.
Yes.
You hate Joe Buck. I don't completely get it.
Yeah.
But you hate that man.
I just can't stand him, man. Like, it's almost like, I hate to say it, Ben, but he's riding off of his dad's coattails, honestly.
God, he's pretty good at what he does. If you want to say he's smug, you want to say he's a little smarmy, we can have that conversation. Yeah. But the man's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah. You know, again, like baseball wise, he's tolerable, but football, just stay the hell away from it, please.
The guy wakes up in the morning, falls out of bed into Emmys, and Clint says he's tolerable. Okay.
Boom.
Okay, we got time for more. 706-0111. Mine, I'm not budging off of. Mine is Urban Meyer. You can't make me change my mind there. I won't change my mind there. The dude is not only sleazy, he is a liar, I mean a habitual liar, and he will sell you out in a heartbeat to get what he wants. He represents everything that I dislike, not just in a coach, not just in a sports figure, but to keep it 100 with you, in a human being. I'm surprised that we haven't had anyone go down the Anthony Davis trail just yet. I didn't know if anybody had turned on him this quickly. I had LeBron James in mind, maybe for some of you, when I brought this question up, because what's funny is there are certain guys that are polarizing, and when you're not with them, holy hell, are you against them? And for a lot of people out there, LeBron is that type of polarizing figure. So we got time for more. In fact, Clint's over there madly scrambling, taking calls as we speak. I get the feeling we'll be taking another trip, and very quickly, out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, and yes, that is the case. Keith is with us. Keith, you're going in on Joe Buck. Where do you stand?
Man, I would have to agree, and I never heard anybody say this before, but he has my 100% agreement there, especially with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck together commentating the game. One of the most aggravating things you'll ever hear in your life, my brother.
All right, so you're siding with Keith, and I'll accept that. I'm sorry, Keith is siding with Clint. You guys are both anti-Joe Buck.
Absolutely. They are anti-Louisiana. Doesn't matter what team's playing. The glass is always halfway empty with those two clowns, man, and I can't stand listening to them.
That's fair. Keith, we appreciate it. We got to keep it rolling. Right. He says Joe Buck. And since you don't agree with me, I'm getting you hell. You just got to get off my airways. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. CD, you got another one coming? What's the latest here? You sharing company secrets on that?
No. I'm just kind of letting people know, like, we're about to try and hit the top of the hour here. So, you know.
Don't share that Bush's bean family secret there.
No, we're not sharing the secret recipe.
Don't share that secret. Well, that recipe, that stays in-house. Just telling you. But you're right. We do need to get to that one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. No, just kidding. Internal is the final word of this hour, because what I love is when a fan can point the finger internally. Our guy, Raymond Parsh III, says Daniel Snyder is his most hated sports figure. Of course, he's the Redskins owner. And of course, RP3, that's his childhood team. I don't blame him for hating that man. He's wrecked the home team, if you're Raymond. Our guy, Neyland Branch, you probably feel the same way. I love it when you could recognize that even internally, yeah, you're hearing me, Sox fans, with Bill Buckner. Yeah, you're hearing me, Cleveland Browns fans, with Ernest Biner. I love when the hatred can even be internal. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. Coming back with James Moran, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 1037 The Game.
I'll step into that circle with James. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 1037 The Game. And let's waste no time. Head to Baton Rouge and to Alec Box Stadium. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, it is our good friend James Moran, editor, Tiger Rag Magazine. How are you, James?
Doing well, Ben. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well, but I got to tell you, I was sped up a little bit at the end of our last hour. I was promoting the fact that you were coming aboard, and I got to tell you, I had a flashback to when I used to have your job. I said, I'm Ben Love, and we'll be right back with James Moran. You're listening to, and I almost said Tiger Rag Radio on 103.7 The Game. I don't even know who I am. I don't know where I am anymore, James.
That's okay, Ben. You're still doing great in my book.
You know, I appreciate the affirmation there. All right, let's look at this LSU pitching staff. And some of the things that you discussed yesterday with Zach Hess I thought were fascinating. Give our listeners some purview there. What happened with his mechanics, what he noticed in the midweek, and what he's looking to correct?
Well, obviously, you know, that's kind of the big topic going into this weekend, and especially going into tonight, is what happened with Zach Hess's debut. This is the second year in a row that he really kind of got bombed in his debut, and obviously with the rest of the rotation pitching as well as they have, especially Landon Marceau and Jaden Hill and Eric Walker looking for a spot, you know, it's going to be natural that people start asking some questions of Hess and whether or not he's the guy for the job, all that kind of thing, which, again, is obviously extreme after one game, but it's a valid of asking what went wrong in his debut. And in a macro sense, he was just pitching in really bad counts. I mean, he couldn't throw his slider over the plate. His changeup, which we'd heard a lot about during the spring, was really a non-factor. He was a one-pitch pitcher with a fastball, and, you know, that was a pretty good hit in ULL team. If you throw the fastball over the plate when they're looking for it, they're going to hit it. And that was kind of the, you know, what went wrong, but they seem to think that they've kind of figured out why he was struggling with his location, why he couldn't get that slider over the plate, and it has to do with his leg kick. They went back and watched some film of him from over the summer when he was pitching for Team USA, and I think also probably back to some stuff from film from last year, and they saw that he had a much higher leg kick than he did on last Friday night, and they didn't say that it's related to the groin issue and that he wasn't able to get his leg up as high. I don't think that's necessarily a strict causal relationship, but it is worth noting that he had to deal with a groin injury, and maybe he had kind of minimized his leg kick as a way of protecting that. I'm not really sure how that started to happen, but because of that, it means his foot was landing way before his arm was through, and he's kind of dragging his arm through the zone, and that's a really tough way to pitch because it basically takes your legs out from under you. So they kind of worked on it. They were working last Sunday night after the game and in a bullpen session during the week on picks back in sync. And once everything the thing about Zach Hess is when he's on, he is dominant. He is a dominant Friday night guy when he pitches well and he's got control over all three of those pitches. The question is, how do you stop starts from last week from happening where, you know, he's getting knocked out in the fourth inning, giving up five runs. I would expect a bounce back outing from him because his track record is normally that it's one bad start, two or three good starts, and he kind of vacillates like that. But they seem to think that they figured out what went wrong last Friday specifically, and I'm definitely curious to see how that could translate to the success tonight against the Bryant team that, if nothing else, is a pretty good hitting team. And it's a lot like that ULM team in that they got a lot of juniors and seniors and a lot of guys with some pop.
James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, our guest. And you're listening to the On Deck Circle portion of our program on 103.7 The Game. All right, James, the lack of a second midweek game. I know it meant that Eric Walker didn't get the start that Maneri wanted, but how else might that affect the way that LSU treats this series against Bryant from a pitching standpoint?
I think Walker's really the guy that gets affected here. I don't know if it changes very much for anybody else. The rotation's still the same. And look, it's probably good. I mean, they're going to be missing some relievers this weekend. Chase Costello came down with some kind of weird arm soreness, so he's out for this weekend. Obviously, Mikhail Hilliard was dealing with arm soreness. He had a minor procedure earlier this week where they think maybe he can make some progress next week, but he's out for this weekend. So it's probably good that at least for tonight, and who knows maybe if they'll try something on after that, but at least for tonight, they can use Eric Walker out to eat up some of those innings out of the bullpen. I would expect he's the first guy who comes in after Hess tonight because they want to get him two or three more innings and try to keep building up that arm strength. And I think he's going to probably make a start next week in the midweek. But that's really the one change that I see. I mean, if anything, it takes a little bit of the load off Brock Mathis, who's obviously caught almost all of the games so far, except for a couple innings off against Air Force when that game got out of hand. But aside from that, Walker's really the guy that's affected by that, and I'm curious if they use him tonight in relief, and I expect they would, and also how much they use him.
So this time last week, we were looking forward to Drew Bianco's first start as a freshman at first base. Tonight, it's going to be Cade Beloso at first, the hero from last Saturday. I guess long-term, getting toward the SEC play, what type of criteria do you think they're going to use to evaluate if there's one guy who leaps ahead? Is it more at the plate? Is it more fielding? What's going to determine who maybe grabs that job full-time?
I think it's both. I think what they're trying to figure out, right? I think right now they love Cade Beloso, and it's hard not to. The one game he started, he had three hits, including a walk-off home run. He's made every play on the field. He came off the bench and got a sack fly in one of the other games. They feel really good with what they've seen from him, even if it's only in one game. I think they're happy to get him back in the lineup tonight against the right-handed pitcher. What's going to be interesting this weekend, and Paul Maneri didn't really commit to any plan beyond tonight, but tomorrow, do they go with Beloso again against the lefty? Maybe see what it looks like with him playing against all types of pitching and how he could handle that. Or, I don't think they were very happy with the way Drew Bianco played the last couple games, especially that midweek game. I mean, he dropped the throw. I think he's made an error in each one of the games he started. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of called strike threes. I think they might even give Gavin Dugas a look this weekend where you could see him start one of these games against the left-handed pitcher. Right now, look, things could always change. I mean, I'm not saying Bianco's out of it or that Beloso's got the job wrapped up, but I think right now they're very confident and Beloso playing against right-handed pitching. And the interesting question is going to be, do they find a righty to platoon with him, or does this end up just becoming a job that he takes overall on his own?
Great info, and we always get that from James Moran. Fridays, 5 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. All right, a couple quick questions for you. I guess, what else do you know about Bryant, other than the fact that they hit pretty well, as you alluded to, and that they're going righty-lefty-lefty with the weekend rotation?
I know tonight's starter is a right-hander and the throw is mostly a fastball pitcher, but he's got some good velocity to him, which is something that LSU didn't see of any last week. Now, the book on this LSU team has been that they hit velocity pretty well, at least if you look at the last few years. But I'm curious tonight against the guy that's probably 93, 94. You don't see a lot of those in non-conference play, even though it's what LSU practices against a lot. You want to see how they do there? And I'm going to keep harping on the lefties thing, Ben, because I think it's very important because there's going to be some nasty lefties they see. So you want to keep seeing guys like Zach Watson and Saul Garza and Brock Mathis and whoever's playing first base. Because they're good hitters. The guys you count on in this lineup are so left-handed. I mean, with Josh Smith, Daniel Cabrera, Antoine Duplantis, those are your three main guys on this team. They're all left-handed. Now, none of them are like woeful against left-hand pitcher or anything, but you want to see how those guys in the middle to bottom of the order do against lefties, because they're going to be the guys, in my mind, they're going to make or break this team some days against a tough lefty in SEC play.
For our 5 o'clock crowd, as we finish up with James Moran, Saturday's game 2 has been pushed back to 7 p.m. for weather concerns, so I'll lob this one to you and you can knock it out of the park. From a weather standpoint, what else might we have to look out for this 3-game set?
I think today is going to be okay. The tarp's on the field right now, but I think that's more as a precaution because there's some scattered storms in the area. But tonight looks like they should be okay. Tomorrow, I mean, it looks like it's just going to dump water in the middle of the afternoon. So if that gets out of town quickly enough, there shouldn't be any problems. But if it lingers, it could turn into a late night or even, I don't want to say it, but I guess in theory they could also make it a doubleheader on Sunday, though I personally am not in favor of that idea.
I will knock on wood for you, my friend. You know I appreciate you doing this, James. We'll be following your coverage. Have a great night.
No problem, Ben. Enjoy yourself, buddy. Have a good weekend.
That's James Moran. He's the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, and he's probably, along with Jeff Palermo, the only ones who should be saying, we'll be right back with more Tiger Rag Radio. I probably shouldn't be saying that anymore, so I'm sorry that I tried to at the end of hour number one. Here's our plan. We're taking a quick break. When we return, I've got news on a former Houston Astro that's on the brink of about a $10.5 million a year contract elsewhere. That plus, got to throw a little bit of shade. And yes, Robert Kraft, oh so much Robert Kraft, but also something from Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns that I didn't particularly like. So to Danny Jones, you might have to earmuff it for just a little bit. But Bumper to Bumper Sports, we're coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. At 103.7thegame.com.
going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
All right, at this point, you know, LSU baseball in Baton Rouge taking on Bryant tonight. UL baseball on the road playing the Sam Houston State Bearcats. We've had plenty of coverage there. Some 78 minutes into the program, we're going to leave it behind for a couple of segments now. Let's get to the Astros and then to some shade. And we have some substantial shade today. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Astros fans, I think this is probably inevitable. You can't keep them all. Dallas Keuchel, we already know they're not going to be able to hold on to him. And according to Jeff Passan, utility man Marwin Gonzalez is in agreement with the Minnesota Twins on a 2-year, $21 million deal. League sources telling the mothership. Clint, I think the writing was probably on the wall here.
Yeah.
When the Astros went out and Jeff Luhnow was able to get Michael Brantley from the Indians. I think you had to do that deal. There's more star power, but there's no doubt about it. Losing Marwin as a glue guy that can fill in at like five different positions, this one stinks a little bit, and I think he was a big fan favorite as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was such a big fan favorite. The guy probably has contributed the biggest hit in the Astros franchise's history.
That too.
Like I said, that's a big reason why I think a lot of Astros fans are going to miss a guy like that. He's just such a great talent.
You can't keep them all. They have to make room financially for others, but this one, it stinks a little bit. So Marwin Gonzalez, and good for him, he's getting some paper as well. 2-year, $21 million, the reported deal for Gonzalez heading to play for the Twinkies. All right, it's time now for your daily reminder. Locally, it's a PSA for you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and then the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, of course. And know that you could trust their management top down, starting with Mark, to not only create visions for you, but they're going to fulfill them. Alex will put up the shades and awnings. Todd takes care of the installation of patio covers and those customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I decided in the break that Robert Kraft is just way too low of hanging fruit, and then there's the whole part where his camp denies it vehemently. He hasn't had his justice right, his due diligence, his day in court yet. So I'll do my best to kind of take the talons and retract them Wolverine style a little bit there. But there is a story that I saw this morning that I originally had earmarked for this segment. I'm going to share it with you now. Tom Herman is electing to sign just about all of his assistants to one-year deals as opposed to anything more long-term. Those are the brass tacks. Now let me give you the details. Texas beat writer Anwar Richardson, back on January the 9th, reported that seven assistants for the Texas Longhorns football program, seven of them, which is basically everyone but the coordinators. I mean, seriously, you get 10, right? Head coach, two coordinators. This is everybody else. Richardson reported in early January that they all were going to be re-signed. That's the time of year where you do learn those things. Well, Richardson just uncovered within the last 24 hours that all of them are getting one-year deals. And it's the rationale behind that that I'm going to have to throw some shade at here. If it works out, look, I'll eat the crow. If Texas is an elite program and they hold on to all these guys, I'll gladly eat the crow. But I don't like the devil in the details here. Not me personally. According to Anwar Richardson, Tom Herman's goal with this move is to avoid staff complacency coming off a 10-4 season and a win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Here's the exact quote that Herman gave according to a source of Richardson's. If you're elite at your job, You never have to worry. Be one of the best in the country at what you do, and you'll never have to worry about losing your job, end quote. While I get it, while I understand the motivation, the want, Les Miles style, to not have complacency, God, it just seems so short-sighted to me. Because what type of message are you sending to your guys? You think it's don't be complacent. I would say on the other side of the fence, you're replaceable. You might want to look for more security at another high-level job, not only in the NCAA ranks, but in the NFL, which comes up for so many of these guys all the time. So I think the message being sent here is a bad one. And while we all lament the fact that a player's scholarship at the NCAA level is 1 year renewable, and it is, don't ever question that. A college scholarship to date has almost always been a 1 year renewable contract. Now, many schools are being out in front about the fact that they're trying to change that. They're using that as a recruiting pitch and a recruiting tool. You're seeing many schools now say, you know what? We're offering you a 4 year scholarship that you don't have to re-up every single year. But for the most part, that's the way it goes down around the country. So to hold these coaches to the same standard, hey, maybe some of you like it, and I'm happy to take your calls. I'm happy to listen to your side. And I kind of get Tom's side. I just disagree with it. If you want to play the Nick Saban game, if you want to have to go, you know, trading places, if you want to have to play musical chairs with your assistants, your coordinators, year after year, good luck. But my guess is Herman and Texas aren't on Saban or Alabama terms yet. I don't think they're on that level just yet. Do you? Because I don't, and I think that it's open season on Texas assistants after this one. Doesn't matter if you're in the NFL. Doesn't matter if you're in the college football ranks. I think Tom Herman is putting his guys on notice. Yeah, he wants them to perform well, but I think they may just start freshening up that job application, that resume for LinkedIn or Monster.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Speaking of that, Clint, I just got a text from our good friend Dave Schultz, our program director here at Acadiana Sports Station. He wants me to inform you that your contract has been extended.
Okay.
1 week at a time.
Cool deal.
Yeah, 1 week at a time. So hopefully that doesn't bother you at all.
That's okay, you know. I think it was already week to week. I think it was day to day beforehand. So
it was more of a day to day situation. Yeah.
Then again, aren't we all?
Aren't we all day to day? Very well put. And of course, that's a joke. Maybe. I'll let you know after the break here. But that's what the Tom Herman thing kind of feels like to me. Congrats. You've been extended. You've been renewed. I'll let you know next week if you'll be back further than that. All right, Clint. Well, while we have a little bit of time into this segment, and before we bring on Chad Mahaffey, he's switching from U-High to Walker High, new head coach of the Wildcats. So it's been a pretty wild week for him. Looking forward to catching up with him on the other side of this next break. But before we hit that break, we posted our sink or swim question on Facebook, and as has been the case the last few weeks you've been doing this, great job, by the way, amigo, a lot of response. Who is your most hated sports figure in America today? I'm just going to read the new responses because some of these, well, they've been up for a little while, and we already gave them to the 4 o'clock crowd. Brock says Bill Vinovich. Yeah, I think we all get that one. Logan says Jim Rome. Well, just, you know, don't worry about this station then, 11 to 2 apparently. We've got some more that have come through. Scotty says Stephen A. Smith. Yep. I was wondering if that would come across. We've already gotten Jim Gray. Keith says Joe Buck, siding with Clint, and now we've got Stephen A. Smith. Jason says Ray Lewis. Every time he opens his mouth, I cringe. And Dusty's going in for part two. He already gave us Roger Goodell, which I knew that was coming. That train was not going to be late. But Dusty's also saying Mike Ditka for trading away our picks like a drunken sailor the year before Peyton Manning is draft eligible. And a lot of all caps from Dusty there. But we've got another one, CD. Torian is probably the leader in the clubhouse. Team Iceland. Phenomenal Mighty Ducks reference. But Jason has now given us this one. Before we head to a break, Clint, I need you to enjoy this. Jack Parkman for Major League 2. And then we even get the quote from Jason. Parkman does this little shimmy it makes the women in Cleveland puke.
That is a really, really good one. I like that a lot.
I love that. So we're getting the references in strong, and yep, they are received. Congrats for all of your submissions. When we return, it is time for Chad Mahaffey. And don't forget Q&A replay, Shay Dixon at 6:10. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in with more of your 5 o'clock hour. We got high school basketball tipping off their playoffs tonight, but right about now, I'm looking forward to the biggest story of the week in high school football in Louisiana. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and waiting aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, three-time state championship head coach leading the U-High Cubs. And a couple of days ago, it was announced he's taken over as the head coach of the Walker High Wildcats football program. Chad Mahaffey is our guest. Coach, congratulations to you. Great to have you back on.
Thank you, Ben. Glad to talk with you.
Well, let's go through, I guess, everything that's transpired that we now know. You had the opportunity to tell your players. So I guess for fans across the state that are curious, how did this come to be? Obviously, you were in a very, very good place, and now you've got a great opportunity. But how did everything come to pass?
Yeah, you know, I mean, first and foremost, you know, the time that, you know, had it at University High was really special, and you know, loved a whole lot of things there, and as much as anything, just the people, you know, and relationships, friendships that you make with, you know, our coaches, our players, parents. I mean, just so many people at that school that have been supportive. So that part was tough, you know, but basically, you know, going to be there anymore, and that part's difficult, but. You know, the parts that I was excited about with Walker was just, you know, the potential that I see in their program. Kind of they've made some great strides really already, you know, from where they've kind of historically been. And I think, you know, Jason St. Pierre, the principal, and the things that he's done out there with just the school is very innovative, very creative. You know, I think he and I and athletic director Steve Johnson are just all kind of on the same page with what we can do to, you know, make it an elite program.
Are there inherent challenges, I guess, on the public school side, what would now be considered the non-select side, that for whatever reason entice you as well?
No, not really. It didn't matter to me, you know, public, private, none of that really mattered. You know, like I say, it's just the opportunity and the potential that I see at Walker. I mean, they've got great facilities. Like I said, it's a great school and a great school system. I think it's going to have outstanding community support. And, you know, it's just got a lot of things that I really thought were in place or needed to be in place, you know, to have one of the best programs in the state. And we're not there yet, but we can get there.
Chad Mahaffey, our guest on 103.7 The Game, taking over, I believe, right after Mardi Gras as the head football coach of the Walker High Wildcats. I had the chance last year, Coach, to call a few games for that basketball program that won a state championship. I think the entire town of Walker, I think everybody in Livingston Parish was basically over in Lake Charles that night. It was electric. And I know that you look at the long-term build with a program like this, but in the short term, when you talk about Jalen Cook, Brian Thomas, a couple of underclassmen, I think the right now and the present has to excite you as well.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's been some really good strides made there. I don't view, you know, taking this job as in any way, shape, or form a rebuild. You know, I mean, there's been success there. They've had, you know, good seasons. Obviously, we want to kind of build on that and add to that and, you know, kind of take the next step as a program. But no doubt, I think both the boys and the girls basketball teams have kind of shown, you know, that Walker can be an elite athletic program, and we'll hope to get football, you know, to that same level.
You've had a number of stops throughout Louisiana, including right here in the Acadiana area. You spent 9 years, however, at U High. So some of your biggest takeaways, lessons that you learned as a coach that will help you as you move over to Walker High now?
You know, I think each year that you're coaching, you know, you gain more experience, you know, whether it's different situations that come up, obviously, football-wise, but just, you know, amongst your staff, amongst the kids, things that, you know, you can never really prepare for. And doesn't mean all those things are going to repeat themselves down the road, but it just, you know, gives you a different perspective and more experience, you know, to try and handle what will be the unexpected at Walker. And, you know, again, just excited about it. But my, you know, my main takeaways, like I say, are really the memories of the people and the games and, you know, just all the relationships that were built there over that time period.
Coach, having gotten to know you a good bit throughout the course of my younger years playing for you over at Catholic High in Baton Rouge, I'm sure you don't compare yourself to anybody, but is there anything that you would look at with Zachary High, the things that they've been able to accomplish and say, okay, maybe there's a blueprint, or okay, maybe we're ready to compete with those guys? How do you view maybe their success and the job that you're walking into?
Well, I mean, you know, the job that Brew and those guys have done has been tremendous. You know, I think they've, you know, won 3 out of the last 4, you know, on the 5A level, which is extremely difficult to do. And, you know, I think they've got a lot of things that people would want to look at and emulate. And, you know, I think from a setup structure, sports staff, coaching staff, I know that's a big part of their success, doing a good job with their younger programs and their feeder schools. And so that's something that, you know, I can't really speak on at Walker of where those things are because I haven't been there, but I know that's important to a program. And so, you know, and I will say every community is going to be a little different. You know, there's going to be different avenues that are going to, you know, provide success. And so don't know that you can, you know, exactly put the same game plan in everywhere, that would be the best way to go. But as far as talking about, you know, creating a great coaching staff like they have, you know, then that's certainly something we want to be able to do at Walker, and I think we'll get that done.
Coming down the stretch now with Coach Chad Mahaffey on 103.7 The Game, you had some very highly recruited players, obviously, at U High, and I think that's going to be the case again at Walker. I'm not sure how accustomed they are to having Nick Saban and the like come on campus, but just what can that mean, not only for a high school, but a community like Walker?
Well, I think you always, you know, in the community want to see your kids have great opportunities. And, you know, those kids having the talent and ability, you know, to even have schools, you know, on the collegiate level look at them as a positive and a reward for those kids. And I know that they'll have to, you know, continue putting in the work that they've done that have gotten them to this point. And as a coaches, we just want to help, you know, create as many opportunities for the kids as you can. And, you know, again, it's something that I'm sure is exciting. And at the same time, you know, we're going to have, you know, everything in place we can do to help all of our kids. And the ones that have that ability to go on and play, we're going to do what we can to help them and pull for them. And the ones that are just, you know, hey, trying to be the best high school players they can be, we're going to work just as hard with them. So it's going to take everybody, you know, to get where we would like to go. And I think everybody is going to work to do that.
And, of course, if I don't mention Ed Orgeron at LSU, they're going to run me off my own program here. So I'll throw that in as well. But certainly a lot of attention will be paid to some of those kids. Before we let you go, when you get your feet wet initially, I know that you're going to have to build a staff. But as far as, I guess, addressing the kids that are there, getting your program implemented, getting in with spring football, what are some of the initial steps for you as you take over at Walker High?
You know, one of the first things that I really got to do is just got to get in there and meet with our kids, try and get to know them, you know, as quickly and as best I can. And, you know, good relationships are going to be built over time, but at least, you know, let's try and kind of get a state of the union if we can, find out where things are. And same thing with our coaching staff and our faculty, and just try to, you know, get a feel of what's important, you know, to the school and community, and what things, you know, that everybody sees we can maybe do better, and those are where we'll try and attack from there.
You know, I appreciate the time. It's been a busy week for you. So, again, congratulations, Coach, and we'll catch up soon down the road.
All right, that sounds great, Ben. Thank you.
Really good tracking him down, especially given everything that's happened this week. All right, we did catch a little bit of breaking news there, CD. happened right about when we started with Coach Mahaffey. So let's share that now, and we'll hit our final break of this hour. According to Jay Walker, voice of the Raging Cajuns, there will be no UL baseball game tonight at Sam Houston. Due to weather, they're going to have to postpone it. If I'm reading this correctly via the Twitter machine, yeah. Always fun to do that and conduct an interview at the same time. I believe there'll be a doubleheader tomorrow beginning at 3 p.m. for game one.
Yes, this is correct. It's also due to a lingering fog, not as much rain, just the fog hitting the area in Sam Houston and Huntsville, Texas.
That fog will get you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the SEC tournament last year when they had to end the game, stop the game, and then play two outs and call it a day and wrap up that game, LSU Florida last year.
I had almost forgotten about that. See, that's That's why we have you here with me inside the 237 Roof Studios, because you don't drink and you remember these things. So this is good.
Well, that I had to kind of come in here. I had to basically do like 10 minutes of radio in between games. So
you
yeah.
just ruined everything we had going. You took it. Yeah. You put it in the trash. I got to hit a break. We'll start it back over. No, I'm kidding. Shay Dixon coming aboard at 6:10. We're taking you to 6:30. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Bouncing back in on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in the saddle, you better believe it. 10 minutes of change until 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And weather continues to wreak havoc on both of the college baseball programs that we frequent here on B2BS. LSU, they're on track tonight to play at 7 o'clock. Game 1 of 3 against Bryant. Clint and I are bringing you to the pregame show at 6:30. But tomorrow night, LSU is already tried to sidestep some of the weather that's expected in BR. So 7 p.m. is going to be first pitch of game two. It was originally at 4. And as Clinton, I just shared with you, other side of the break, no UL baseball tonight. And so that means a doubleheader tomorrow at 3. Any thoughts, Clint, about what that might mean? I know that it was supposed to be Austin Perrin tonight, Daniel yep. Horton tomorrow. I'm sure that won't change, but think that means anything good, bad, or indifferent for the Cajuns now that it's a doubleheader?
I think it might help out the Cajuns a little bit more because it kind of limits your bullpen in a sense because you got these next two games. They're a doubleheader. And I think with Austin Perrin's shown the ability to be a solid hand, and I think he can do a decent job as a 5-6 inning guy. If you can get him to that point and you're still in a competitive manner in this ballgame coming up at 3 o'clock tomorrow, I think that's a huge step in the right direction for the Cajuns.
Cajuns need to win game one.
Oh, definitely.
If you can win the first one tomorrow, then hand it over to Dalton Horton, who was fantastic. His first career start for the Cajuns on Sunday against the University of Texas. That would put them in a situation to gain momentum in the series and potentially in this early season. So UL not playing tonight against Sam Houston in the Lone Star State. LSU on track to go out behind Zach Hess and play game one against Bryant tonight. And already we've had a guest apiece that's paid some time to UL baseball, Dan McDonald, LSU baseball, James Moran. And you just heard from Chad Mahaffey. If you want to respond to that, got a little bit of meat on the bone in this hour. We got some time for you. 706-0111. That number also available if you want to go in on the sink or swim question of the day. Who is your most hated sports figure in America today? And we've gotten some answers. Bob Kraft. Certainly he is the trending figure, probably not just in sports, but in all of this country, maybe the world, owner of the New England Patriots, implicated, charged with solicitation of prostitution at a massage parlor in the state of Florida. And all indications are his isn't the biggest name on the list. Yowzes. And it's in Jupiter, Florida, that massage parlor. And yes, there have been some leaping to conclusions. If you're a fan of Office Space, the movie, as Clint and I are, somebody got out the mat and started jumping to conclusions on it. Yes, one Eldrick Tiger Woods does live, I believe, not far away from Jupiter, Florida. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. T, good to hear from you today. You got our sink or swim answer. What is it?
Gary Danielson. And any partner he has, can't stand him because he hates LSU.
All right, so you're adding to the list. Stay with me for a second, T. You're adding to the list of broadcasters and just sports announcers because that list is growing. John gave us Jim Gray. Keith gave us Joe Buck. Of course, Clint.
Joe Buck, too.
Yeah, he's
Joe
there Buck for you, too? Man,
oh, yeah.
I might be the only one that could stand him a little bit. I will agree that with Troy Aikman, the NFL on Fox, it's a little bit more insufferable. I can see that. But I like where you're going here. Gary Danielson, he could predict plays almost at a Tony Romo-style clip, but he seems to be anti-LSU, and I understand that part of it.
Yeah, everything he announces is what the other team needs to do to win.
Unless,
doesn't matter if LSU's winning or losing. It's all the other team. You can go back and watch tape. That's a fact.
I was about to say, unless it's Alabama, then he doesn't really need to say much. He just says, this is what Alabama is doing to win, and if they're not, then something's wrong, because they should be.
There you go.
Thank you, T.
Hey, love you,
Joe, Ben. Oh, man, that's awesome. All right, so people, and we've gotten Stephen A. Smith as a submission on Facebook as well. Probably to be predicted. I mean, once that snowball started rolling, it turned into an avalanche. I get that, right? So we threw out sports figure, and I didn't see that coming. I knew we'd get coaches. Not a single person has said Bill Belichick yet. Maybe Robert Kraft floating a little bit of a shadow over him today. Something else occurred to me that just made me chuckle, Clint, because as you know, my mind works in mysterious ways. But the last time that we saw Bob Kraft on television, before today, what was happening? You could stop typing and working on Jordy's show for Monday. I see you over there. What's the last thing that we saw from Bob Kraft before today?
The Super Bowl, him after the Super Bowl.
Kissing?
Yes. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady on the lips.
Yes.
Now, it was not an open mouth kiss, so
no.
I won't put words or a tongue into his mouth, but it was a man-to-man,
yes,
lip-to-lip kiss, and one of them was not related to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, not that that makes it a lot,
yeah,
better.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean? Like, I guess you could potentially have the whole father's. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is.
Whatever your family does. It's not my family. Don't make it weird. So, yeah. The last time we see Robert Kraft, he's kissing Tom Brady on the lips after the Super Bowl. And today, all of this comes down the turnpike. And I think it's only going to get uglier, not just for Kraft, but it sounds like in general. Because all this came, I'm going to make sure that this is understood. Today with Robert Kraft is like the FBI with potentially Will Wade and whoever was caught up in the wake, Chuck Person at Auburn, a number of the college basketball coaches and assistants. The FBI wasn't going after college basketball paying players and cheating. The FBI had wiretaps on people for racketeering, and then they found out that some of the money was being reinvested into handlers and cheating. This was a long investigation into human trafficking, at least part of which had a tributary into this massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. And so some of the stuff that you read is absolutely sickening. And again, it's a sports show. You got your kids, you're driving home. I'm not going to spill all those beans for you. They don't necessarily need to hear that, but some of the stuff is absolutely harrowing and despicable. What is alleged to have happened to these young women that were trafficked over. And as a caller earlier brought up, we don't know the age of some of these women yet. If they were below a certain age, then wow. This could be an even bigger deal for Bob Kraft and everybody that's implicated. But the news of today is ugly, and it got us thinking about most hated sports figures. A lot of good responses so far. Man, the commentator hate just won't stop. Justin texts into the program, Chris Collinsworth, he just annoys me. So basically, if you consume sports on radio or TV, you probably hate the person that's purveying it to you. I don't think that's going to give me much of a fighting chance with this program either. Bumper to Bumper Sports has 30 minutes left. We'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Rolling out the red carpet one more time at the top of the hour today and this week. I'm Ben Love, he's Clint Domingue, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Taking you home and into your weekend from the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We'll go Q&A replay style with my man Shay Dixon about 10 minutes from right now. So that's coming to you quickly, but let's recap the news of the day and weather again is playing a part. And when your favorite baseball teams, well, will be able to play. There will be no game for Sam Houston State hosting UL tonight. So the Cajuns traveling to take on former assistant Matt Deggs, and they'll have to wait at least half of a day, maybe a little bit more. 3 p.m. tomorrow is going to be the first pitch of a doubleheader. So the Cajuns, Bearcats, scheduled to play two tomorrow and then one on Sunday. Austin Perrin still expected to get the go game one at 3 o'clock. And then 30 minutes following the opener tomorrow, it'll be Dalton Horton for Tony Robichaux and the Cajuns. LSU baseball still on track for a 7 p.m. first pitch tonight against the Bryant Bulldogs from the state of Rhode Island. 6:30 is going to be the pregame show. Clint and I are taking you there right now. But there will be a change in the schedule and the plans for tomorrow. There is expected weather issues. That's heading toward Baton Rouge, to put it lightly. A big rainstorm, in fact, is coming to town early afternoon in Baton Rouge. So maybe right about the time that everyone's getting out of the PMAC, LSU versus Tennessee basketball. They were hoping to slide on over to the box. It's not going to happen. Trying to get ahead of this thing, Paul Maneri's group has postponed the start of Game 2 tomorrow. It'll be moved back to 7 p.m. due to those weather concerns. So no Cajuns baseball tonight, and LSU is moved back 4 hours, or about 3 to 4 hours from its original start time, tomorrow night. Your big news of the day nationwide, no doubt about it. Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, implicated in an ugly story coming out of Jupiter, Florida. In fact, he's been charged with solicitation of prostitution. There is a massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida, where all this is deriving from. And the cops allege that they have video of Robert Kraft engaging in some of this misconduct and misbehavior. So this is a story that is incredibly unfortunate. And I don't mean for Patriots fans or even really Robert Kraft, but when you look at some of the human trafficking that's being reported by the cops here following a months-long investigation, just an ugly, ugly story that's coming out of the Sunshine State. But enough of that for right now. CD, I just told you this in the break, and I don't know how I liked your response. I'm still trying to gauge it a little bit. You are a very proud native of the Crow here in Carrick Crow. And yet, when I informed you that I would be attending Karen Crow Mardi Gras tomorrow, you just were a little blah about it. So I'm curious about your experience. Again, my understanding is this isn't quite full out Mamu style in terms of chasing the chicken and some of the cool stuff that goes on there, but I plan to get knee deep in it tomorrow, brother, and I'm excited about it. Why don't you educate me a little?
Like I said, I mean, this is going to be your typical Mardi Gras parade, especially if you go into some of the smaller towns in Lafayette Parish, like Carrick Crow, even Scott in some cases. The biggest thing for me has been, and it kind of rely more on two things. One, the last couple weeks, I've been a little bit not 100%, so I think this weekend might try and just take it a little easier and try to get 100%.
I'm not asking about your condition, sir. I'm not worried about putting you on the I'm not allowed to call it the disabled list anymore. Yeah. Whatever the Major League Baseball does call it now. Yeah. I'm more interested in the history of this and your experience with it.
Like I said, I've only been to a couple of them. So, I know this was a long time ago. Nowadays, it's a lot more hyped up because now I feel like the city of Carrickrove, they're on the come up now the last couple of years. What we're seeing right now with all the shopping centers being opened up and whatnot, it's just, it gets to be a bit of a hassle because, especially if you want to get here extremely early because the roads will be closing at 10 o'clock
roads
tomorrow.
Roads close at 10, yep.
But I'd recommend getting here earlier. If not now, then like very early tomorrow morning.
Wait. When you say like now, you mean like 6:07 p.m. the day before?
Oh, brother, dude. I mean, they've already got the barricades out, and people are going to probably be parking before long.
Wow.
Like, it's ridiculous to see what goes on. Like, I know near Carrickrove High, they're going to wind up probably having several floats get set up late tonight, nice. Early tomorrow morning. So
I'm excited about it, man. And so full disclosure, yeah. I showed up basically once the parade had rolled through downtown to a friend's place and kind of kept partying afterwards. So I've kind of seen what the aftermath looks like, but I want to see this thing from Jump Street tomorrow morning once it starts to roll. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, it's gonna be a fun one, I think. Mind you, again, I'm a bigger fan of the ones the weekend before Mardi Gras because those are the ones where it
isn't that technically what this is? Because obviously Mardi Gras really goes down next week,
right? March the 5th.
Yeah, the weekend of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd leading into the 5th. Yeah. So to me, that's what this is, no?
I'd say yes, but this is kind of just it's an appetizer, if you will, before you get into the main courses and you get the really good parades going on Saturday into Sunday, and then Lundy Gras got some good parades going on. And, of course, Tuesday's the one where you just have the most fun downtown.
And, you know, look, all my out-of-state friends are wild about New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I've done it enough as a teenager growing up in South Louisiana. I've done enough as a collegiate student coming back.
You're just over
in-state.
It.
Oh, man. There's only so many things I'm willing to do to put my life in jeopardy these days.
Yeah.
Does that sound fair?
That sounds about right.
Not a father yet, but still I'm old enough to where I probably should start to feel that way.
Yeah, but you know better.
I just got to say, man, I feel like you take your life in your hands a little bit. You go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras these days.
Oh, definitely.
You go to the quarter, especially. Look, hope you have a great time. I've done it plenty. But I don't know that I'm going to roll those dice.
Yeah, just be aware of your surroundings, basically.
Don't know that I'm – yeah, you're going to have to watch your six a little bit. There's no question. I don't know that I'm going to roll those dice too many more times in my life. New Orleans, Mardi Gras, getting into the thick of it in the quarter. I don't know that I need that in my life as much anymore.
Yeah.
But some of the local stuff to Acadiana that I didn't grow up around like you, I'm all in to explore.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I think it's to me as well because I haven't necessarily been all – you brought up like Mamou, the chicken runs and all that. I have never been to that, mind you. I feel like now in the last couple of years, it's gotten to a point where it's too much.
And I refuse to associate it with everything that they tried to shove down our throat with the first season of True Detective.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. That's one of the best series I've ever seen in my life, or at least a season of a series. And a little shameless plug, I'm not getting paid for this, but True Detective this Sunday night, season 3 finale.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it.
In fact,
Carrickrove Mardi Gras is like the only thing that's keeping my mind off of it right now.
So, yeah.
I'm on autopilot for this show. If it weren't for Carrickrove Mardi Gras, it would only be True Detective finale for me on Sunday that was on my mind.
You'd be doing a whole in-depth preview on True Detective season 3.
I'm some kind of excited. Yeah. Why don't we just leave it at that?
I can about imagine, man.
Between now and then, I'm going to take in a little Carrickrove Mardi Gras. And so hopefully this time next week we're all having our conversation. Or even
exactly.
This time Monday we're all having our conversation about our favorite Mardi Gras celebrations and getting down a little bit of Acadiana style.
Yeah, and trust me, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming up. Like I said, all the good stuff's going to be coming up in the next week or so, starting next weekend.
Just don't tell me about your availability because of feeling a little down.
Trust me.
I don't need that crap.
No, but that's what I'm saying. By then, I should be good to go. I should be off the injured list.
Get a B12 shot, get back out there, and chase the chicken, my friend. It's not just a metaphor. Literally, that's going to happen, and it's going to be awesome. You know what else is pretty awesome? Shea Dixon joins us every Tuesday. We're running that back to wind down our show today. All the recruiting intel you need, and it's coming at you on the other side of this break. LSU picked up 2 commits less than a week ago. Shea's going to tell you how good they are and how it's helped propel LSU currently to the #1 class in the nation in the 2020 cycle. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back, and we're bringing Shea D with us on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Introducing new LifeProof slip-resistant wood-look porcelain tile from The Home Depot. Starting at just $1.99 a square foot, it's 50% more slip-resistant than ordinary tile. It's waterproof, stain-proof, scratch-resistant, and works indoors or out. Step confidently in your kitchen, bathroom, patio, or any area of your home with new LifeProof slip-resistant porcelain tile. Just $1.99 a square foot. Only at The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Selection varies by store. Slip resistance based on tiles that meet a DCOF less than or equal to 0.42.
1 in 3 adults in America have pre-diabetes, but most don't know it. To let people know it can be reversed before it becomes type 2 diabetes, professional basketball player Julius Randle is doing everything in reverse.
I'm only dunking with reverse windmills. I drove the whole way to practice in reverse. I don't recommend it. This move's called the reverse shuffle. I do recommend it. And it took me months to learn how to speak in reverse, like this. Here's 10 almost for diabetes type 2 with living Benhas Mamai. In other words, my mom has been living with type 2 diabetes for almost 10 years. So together, we want to say to the 84 million Americans at risk, exercise and healthy eating can help reverse prediabetes. Start by taking a simple one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bet he can't say that in reverse.
Observe the domesticated human family in their natural habitat, known to their species as the backyard.
Hey, you think I should light it now?
I think so.
Yeah?
Oh dear, someone is about to burn a pile of debris that's too tall, which can start a wildfire. Wait, could it be? Blimey,
oh,
it is.
It's Smokey.
It's Smokey Bear. What a legend.
Smokey. What's he
hey,
doing
it's
here?
Smokey. Sorry, it was too high. Right.
Watch as he astutely ensures that there's no wind and how he removes some of the debris to create a smaller, safer burning pile.
No, you said make it bigger. No, you said make it bigger, baby. The bigger, the better.
Take note right. of our fearless furry friend here, humans.
I appreciate it. Fist bump.
Watching you.
Smokey's done it again.
Bye, Smokey.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Time to wind it down. Yeah, that's how we do it every single Friday with our theme music here. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. We're talking about winding it down. Don't forget, when you reboot and start your week again, I'll have the weekly reboot podcast for you. It'll be waiting on you. Doesn't matter how early you wake up on a Monday morning. It could be that you're still just buzzed off of True Detective Sunday night. You can catch it late Sunday night. The weekly reboot podcast will be ready for you. Just go to 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app, tap, click, on demand, and it'll be waiting. 10 to 15 minutes, it's perfect for your commute into work. The weekly reboot podcast is brought to you by the Cigar Cove in Broussard. All right, enough of that. We also like to wind down, not with a glass of Merlot, but with our good friend Shay Dixon, Go247. He was with us on Tuesday after a week's hiatus. And he was dynamite. It was a huge recruiting weekend for LSU. They added two more commits to the class of 2020. Now the number one class in the country. And here, Shea waxes poetic on that and more. All right, let's get to some of the recruiting. Huge junior day weekend for LSU this past weekend. And it yielded fruit in the form of two 2020 commitments. Let's go chronologically, Shea. Saturday, a commit from D-tackle Jordan Berry. What do you know about him? What do you like about him?
Yeah, this is a kid that one time he was ranked initially in the top 50 prospects in the country when 24/7 did a kind of a way too early look at 100 guys back when he was about to be a sophomore. So this is someone who's been on the scene for a while playing at Narbonne out in California. And I know that he's a big defensive lineman. I know that he's still 16 years old, so even as a junior he's young and certainly has a lot of room left to develop his game. But we know that they were going to add as many defensive linemen as they could. Getting Jordan Berry to campus from California on an unofficial visit was a big deal, right? He paid his own way. They got to see him in person, chat with him, and said, look, we want to go ahead and lock him up. So they did just that. And it's a big push from LSU in California now, with two of the 11 kids who are committed are from California, which is a lot in any class, no matter if there were 25 of them already committed, to have not just one but two, and Elias Ricks being the other, a five-star number one corner. And I think that we're seeing right now the fruits of kind of Ed Orgeron's labor in Southern California when he was the head coach and on staff at USC. And we don't forget that multiple members of this LSU coaching staff, Tommy Robinson, James Craig, were at USC with Orgeron, have ties to the area. And Bill Bush has a lot of ties to the area, and he's been recruiting California pretty heavily, maybe more than any staff member. So put all that together, and I guess when you throw in that they went to a New Year's Six Bowl and won and played out West, I'm not shocked that, you know, LSU's being tossed around with some of the top names in California.
I will fast forward from Saturday to Sunday in terms of commitments, and this one really felt like a rainmaker. A lot of LSU fans excited about him. Defensive end Alec Bryant. And look, don't make the mistake. You pronounce it like a C, like Alec Baldwin, like Alec Box Stadium. Tell us about Alec Bryant and why this one has really elicited the response that it has.
Because it's more edge rush D linemen, right? And they've got a handful of interior guys. I think they've been looking to add some of these, whether it's a 3-4 end or a stand-up guy, some of these edge rushers. And he fits that bill and had offers from everybody. A lot of people thought he would wind up at Oklahoma. And he came through for a visit and went ahead and committed before leaving campus. This was one that they want to get into the state of Texas, Ben, and really do some damage where they can. And with Texas and A&M both being good, and both having new coaching staffs and some kind of new blood, has certainly built them up. And I know that A&M, Texas played really well, went to a Sugar Bowl and won, and A&M had a little bit better of a season than I think people would have thought initially. But point being, Ed Orgeron's going to try to swing back as much as he can in the state of Texas, and they've already got a couple of commitments out of the Lone Star State, and I'm not going to be surprised if they add, you know, two, three, four more down the line and really make a bigger splash in Texas than they did in 2019.
Talking now with Shay Dixon, go to 247.com, and you need to go there for the latest on the Junior Day weekend that did give us two commits when you look at the conversation we're having now. Any other big takeaways that you would add to the weekend that was over in the capital city?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing was getting so many kids to campus. They probably had 50-plus kids from the 2020 class, the 21 to 2022. I mean, even out of the Acadiana area, Fitzgerald West, the young defensive lineman, was at Junior Day as part of just a handful of 2022 kids. So it's kind of their chance to get a head start on not just Louisiana for now, but Louisiana for later and these next two cycles. And then the surrounding states. I know I mentioned a couple kids from California came in, but this was heavy on Texas, Georgia, certainly the state of Alabama had a bunch of kids there who had offers and picked up offers while on campus. So I thought it was over. It's what you want from a junior day. You get a couple commits out of it, you get some new offers out, and you kind of put yourself face-to-face with these guys and their families to try to kickstart some momentum, if you will, into the spring.
Shay, you and I have talked before about needs for this class, and when you look at what they're doing right now, I guess with the two commitments added over the weekend, LSU currently the number one class in the country for 2020. But let's dive back into needs and the job they're doing currently addressing them and what that leaves going forward in this cycle.
Well, the biggest storyline of National Signing Day usually leads to what becomes the biggest priority in the next class, right? Like everybody 2 years ago talked about how they missed on Surtain and Mario Goodrich and they needed corners. They'd only signed Kelvin Joseph. And this cycle it was missing on some defensive linemen late. And they added Desmond Little on signing day. And of course, they signed Joe Evans and Apu Aika in December. But they wanted more, and they were shooting for more. And Ed Orgeron preaches all the time about the trenches, right? So that means getting more defensive linemen in the fold, and we've seen it. We just talked about two guys who committed. They already had Jaquell and Roy, the top defensive lineman in Louisiana, on board. They also have Cameron Jackson out of North Louisiana on board coming out of Haynesville. So they've addressed early some defensive linemen, right? They've got four, but they're going to get up into that 6-7 range, maybe more, of defensive linemen slash outside linebacker edge rusher types in this class because it's their biggest focus. And then I think beyond that, knowing you're losing Burrow, you went through a year with only Burrow and Brennan, you need quarterbacks. And they signed one in Peter Parrish, and they got a four-star out of last cycle. But that meant really reloading this cycle, and they've already got their two quarterback commits in T.J. Finley and Max Johnson. So far, I think if you point to sort of the two biggest needs you had, you've already addressed them, or at least you're well on your way to it. And I think that's a positive and a big reason why they have the number one class.
You and I have talked also about the idea that 2020 in-state isn't what 2019 was, and it's not exactly a bumper crop year, save a certain position or two. And again, we talked about that on our show, On the Trail. May God rest its soul. But we'll bring it now to B2BS, Bumper to Bumper Sports. You still feeling that way? And if it's not going to be heavy or as heavy in Louisiana this year, as far as LSU's commitment, ultimately the signing class, where else might they have to go?
Well, right now they're sort of going all over. I mean, to see them go to California and into Texas and into Georgia, and they've offered a bunch of kids really not only just in the Southeast, but they hit Washington, D.C. hard and offered double-digit guys. They've been in the Midwest a good bit. So I think they're trying to test out the brand, right? How much of a national reach can you have being the program you are right now? And I think it's a big one. So we're going to see them go all over the country. And I'll say this, I don't think that Louisiana, it doesn't have the top-heavy talent that we are maybe normally used to. So, like, for instance, the Stingleys and Emerys of the world aren't walking around in the 2020 class. He's like, no doubt about it, day one impact starters for you, if you will. But I think that what it lacks sort of in super top end, five star, you know, even top 100 talent, you've got a bunch of guys who are in that four star range who are very solid players who are going to have SEC offers, and that's going to get into the 15, 16, 17. So I think that, in terms of numbers, they always get into the double digits. I'd expect LSU to sign double-digit Louisiana guys, but I'm not going to be surprised if it's on the low end of that, even if that means it's 10.
Shea, we don't have time to officially flip the script today. Thank you, LSU basketball. But we will plagiarize a bit from, frankly, a question that you asked me maybe a month or two ago within this segment, right? Within this weekly hit, you've asked me for, like, some bucket list sporting events. I repurposed that. I used it today in honor of UNC Duke. And so last time you asked me that question, this time I'll ask you. And we'll stay maybe more on the college side. Again, UNC Duke being kind of the driving force here. What's a bucket list game that you haven't attended yet that you want to?
Oh, man. Well, I'd say basketball or football, right? Like, in, if I were to say baseball, I'd pick LSU, so that's already checked off the list. I will say this, the younger me would have copped out. I would have said Duke, North Carolina, and that being at Duke, I would have wanted to see that. Now I'll pick something that's a little bit more sexy for me. I want to pick the Rose Bowl. I want to see USC, right? I want to see USC and LA against a good team. So LSU out there would be cool to see. That might top my list if we're going college right now. That's the one stadium I haven't been to. And I haven't been to the Big House at Michigan or Ohio State, but I think I would pick sunny California over those. So I'll go USC versus someone that's good, Ben. Anyone, I don't really care.
Which presumably would rule out UCLA. So you can't get their rivalry game there. But USC versus somebody good in the Coliseum, that's a heck of a pick. So I like the way you're going there. Shea, I like the direction we're heading as well. We'll try to get another go in next Tuesday. We'll see if we remember what that day feels like.
Perfect. Sounds good, Ben.
The intel and the info still slamming. We appreciate Shea just as much as we did on Tuesday. But Clint is saying, Ben, get the hell out of Dodge. We got to get it to LSU baseball, and I will certainly oblige. Our thanks to Dan McDonald, James Moran, Chad Mahaffey, and then Shea Dixon. Run back. This has been a great show and a great week. Thank you for making it that way. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Enjoy your weekend. LSU, Bryan, Game 1 next on 103.7 The Game.